I just want to follow up on what was just said about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's striking that when you go to John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit is mentioned to remind us of our relationship with the Father. In that chapter, it reminds us, the context is, I go away to prepare a place for you, right? And then he says, well, a little bit later, he says, well, show us the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then it goes on, and the Lord Jesus is developing that relationship, and he develops, he puts before them the person of the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Not only is he going to come upon you, but he's going to be in you. Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 15, abide in me, and you shall be my witnesses. And the idea of being a witness and being the testimony is, at the end of the chapter there, is the Holy Spirit is going to be there in you, and you're going to be able to have the power to do that. In chapter 16 then, when tribulation and difficulties come in, and he says, at the end of chapter 16, he says, I have overcome, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But before that, he says, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to take the things of mine, and he's going to make them precious to you, and that's how you're going to be an overcomer. And you put all these things together, and one of the things that Mark echoed here, and I'm going to let him repeat what he said so that we can really get the good of what Mark was trying to get before us.
Yeah, this is important to all parts of deity, right? It's the Father. Jesus is praying to the Father that the Father does this work. He does that work through the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is very much involved and concerned about this. And he says, I'm making it my business to be available and to be set apart in order to bring this about in them as well. And we have the Holy Spirit. So this is important from God's perspective. That all three, just as all three are involved in the securing of our salvation, they're all involved in the securing of this process of sanctification.
So, time's flying here. So we want to go back to 1 Thessalonians then, okay? And in the verses from verse chapter 4, verse 1, down to verse 8. If somebody could read those, and while we're reading them, think what kind of sanctification this is. Okay, while he's reading it, think what kind of sanctification is this, and what is it saying to me? What does it say in the context? That's observation. How does it fit in the context? That's interpretation. What does it mean? That's interpretation. But what does it mean to me is application, right? What does it mean is interpretation in the context. But what does it mean to me is application, right? Do you get it? So there's observation. We want to look at it. What does it say? Mm-hmm. Then we want to see what does it mean in the context, interpretation. And then we're going to apply it. But there is one more thing. There's a thing called correlation. How does it fit in with other scriptures? Mm-hmm. But we won't go there either. All right, we'll just hang tight with these three, okay? So, let's read the scriptures, and let's, what does it say? What does it say in the context? One through eight, please. Thank you.
1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 8. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
Very good. So, in the context, what type of sanctification is this? What type of sanctification is it? Is it positional sanctification? Yes? No? I see hands, a head shaking. No. Is it perfect sanctification? No. One left. Right? So this is practical sanctification that it's talking about. What specific areas is it saying to be sanctified in? And then we'll open it up for discussion on that. What specific areas? Say it again. Say it loud.
Fornication.
Okay. Why is he addressing that? Why is he addressing that here in Thessalonica? What did they turn from? They turned to God from idols. When you go through scripture, it's an interesting thing. You go through scripture, and idol worship is always connected to fornication. And fornication is often connected, and most always connected to idol worship. It's a pattern that you see all the way through. Now, he has said to them that by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God, they've turned to God from these things. So now he is underlining to them that since you've turned to God, since you are sanctified positionally, since this is where you are, now what's in your society all around you, you're cut above all that. And if you want to live a dynamic, contagious Christian life, you're cut above that. So put this sanctification into action. Right? Let's have some thoughts on these scriptures. What stands out to you as you look at those scriptures? And we'll get, if there's anything else you want to say on interpretation, we can go with that. But if you want to make application, we can go with that.